Last week, President Donald Trump signed a major tax and spending bill that aims to drastically reshape domestic policy and deliver on his campaign promises. The so-called One Big Beautiful Bill will make significant cuts to Medicaid and climate programs, while providing more tax cuts and increasing funding for immigration enforcement and defense, among others. The legislation narrowly passed in Congress and could have a big impact here in California, which has long championed itself as an environmental leader and supportive of immigrants and public assistance programs. The federal bill also comes as California lawmakers passed the state budget last week to close a $12 billion shortfall, which includes a freeze on Medi-Cal enrollments, that's the state's version of Medicaid, for some immigrants without legal status, among other changes. Joining us now to get us up to speed and talk about all these latest developments in state politics is Dustin Gardner, co-author of Politico's California Playbook. Hey, Dustin.
Hey, Vicky. Always good to be with you.
Yeah, so we did have a long holiday weekend, and a lot happened last week. How will this recently passed federal tax and spending bill affect California?
A couple of real big top lines for you to start. The biggest hit is to Medi-Cal, the state's health care program for low-income Californians. The estimates are up to 3.4 million Californians could lose their health care coverage through that program. Another big hit is to the SNAP program. This is food stamps. Up to 700,000 Californians could lose their food stamps through that program. And that hit to Medi-Cal and food stamps is largely over a new work requirement that the bill assigns to those programs. People that are receiving those federal benefits would have to work at least 80 hours a week or show that they're volunteering or caring for a relative. So those are just two huge hits to major safety net programs in the state. On the flip side, there are some significant tax cuts in here. There would be a lot of exemptions for taxes on tips and overtime. People that are paying taxes generally would not have to report that income anymore. And then there also are quite a few tax cuts that benefit the highest income earners in the state.
Yeah, I mean, this is a huge piece of legislation. It's a very big bill. It's several hundred pages long. How are California lawmakers on both sides of the aisle responding to this passage?
Yeah, Democrats really see a huge political opening here. They've really jumped on this in the last couple of weeks, but especially the last few days. And everyone from Nancy Pelosi to Gavin Newsom is calling this not the big, beautiful bill, as Trump likes to say. They're calling it the big, ugly bill. And they're really highlighting those hits to safety net programs. One in five Californians is on Medi-Cal. And, a lot of people, millions of people face that uncertainty now, having to wonder whether they're going to lose coverage. On the flip side, Republicans, a lot of them tended to lay low on this. You had several swing district Republicans in the state, like David Valadao from the Central Valley. They were being heavily targeted by Democrats over this bill. And some of them, like Valadao, who even said they wouldn't support it due to the Medi-Cal cuts, they ended up voting for it in the end after there was significant pressure from the Trump administration. And really, it's setting the table for this to be a major issue next year's midterm elections.
California also recently passed its own state budget, closing a $12 billion deficit. How does this line up to the federal changes that will be taking place that you just laid out will also impact California?
Yeah, so the ink had not even dried really on the state budget before Congress took this step and Trump signed the big bill into law. But the state budget didn't prepare for any of these cuts. I mean, state lawmakers, they weren't sure if this bill was going to pass, and so they went ahead and got a budget done. And now the governor and Democrats in the legislature, they're really kind of in wait-and-see mode to get a sense of just how severe the impacts really are. There's been a lot of estimates floating around. I was talking about millions of people that might lose their health care coverage. They're waiting to get a clearer picture of how exactly the federal administration is going to pass down those cuts. But really what it's setting the stage for is for the governor and legislators to have to come back and revisit the state budget more in the late summer or possibly the early fall as they look at potentially trying to close some of those gaps with federal funding losses. I think it's a frustrating place for a lot of state lawmakers to be after they just close this big budget deficit. And, in a lot of cases, they push to defer cuts to Medi-Cal, especially health care coverage for undocumented undocumented immigrants in the program, and now they're going to have to come back pretty soon and figure out what they're going to do to cover the gaps for a lot of people that might lose coverage.
Right, because you have that deferral at the state level, and then you have further Medicaid cuts at the federal level. So is it kind of a double whammy in California, these impacts?
Yeah, it is a double whammy because the state already had a big deficit in its Medi-Cal program. And the state had already engaged in some pretty significant borrowing that the governor approved to cover some of that deficit. And now now they have to face the question of whether the state's going to raise taxes, whether it's going to make cuts in other areas, or whether it's going to let people lose their coverage due to these federal cuts. And that's really the tough question for the legislature. And there have been conversations percolating for several months about, you know, whether lawmakers could look at some sort of tax increase to help fill the gap there. And those conversations were pushed off. The governor and legislative leadership did not want to have those discussions yet, even as some progressive lawmakers were pushing taxes such as, maybe a tax increase on the land holdings of people that own more than one home, or other tax increases on gross corporate income. And I think that those conversations will be much more serious now going into the fall and the late summer. Lawmakers are going to really have to look at that because there isn't, there's only so many accounting maneuvers they can do before they either have to decide to cut somewhere else or just let people lose their benefits.
So the legislature begins its summer recess not too long from now, July 18th. I mean, what do they need to get done before they go on break?
So the big deadline coming up on July 18th is that's the day for policy committees in the Chamber of Origin to finish hearing bills. And there's a couple of biggies that stand out. One that's up this week in committee is related to anti-Semitism in schools. This started as a fight over ethnic studies curriculum, and there's been a lot of controversy about the state's new graduation requirement for ethnic studies and accusations that some school districts or some educators had curriculum that had anti-Israel content. And that ultimately led to this bill that is trying to create guardrails to prevent anti-Semitism in schools and make sure Jewish students or any students don't feel singled out. But the bill has faced significant pushback from some unions, including the teachers union, who say that it's in some cases they feel like it might be overstepping and trying to get in the way of what curriculum teachers can create for their own classrooms. So I think that'll be a big debate this week. And then we talked about the budget. The legislature also recently passed a major overhaul of the California Environmental Quality Act. This is the landmark state environmental law that requires environmental reviews for a lot of construction projects. There, a lot of environmentalists were not happy about that piece of legislation, and there is discussion about maybe there being some sort of cleanup bills to clarify some of the areas of disagreement around the big exemptions that the lawmakers approved there. So I think, that could be another biggie kind of hanging in the wings here in the next couple of weeks.
In the last minute or so that we have, we're now in summer, and we've talked about this multiple times with you on Insight. That was when former Vice President Kamala Harris said she would make a big decision on whether to run for California governor. Where does that stand now?
Well, she said her self-imposed deadline was the end of the summer, and we're getting, we're midsummer, so it's, we're getting closer and closer, and we still don't have any indication of what direction she's going. There was some fresh polling out last week from researchers at UC Irvine, and that poll showed that about 41% of registered voters in the state support Harris if she were to run, but there were still a lot of undecided voters. And that polling shows that she still is, by far the favorite in the field, but there's still a significant portion of Californians that might not be too enthusiastic about her running. And we've even seen some fellow Democrats start to express frustration that she hasn't made up her mind yet.
Yeah, I mean, the midterms are next fall, and that can feel a ways away next year. But, when it comes to campaigns, I mean, that's just right around the corner.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you have fellow Democrats already running, like Katie Porter, the congressperson formerly from Orange County. And she had said that she wouldn't run if Harris is in. And we had reporting the other day, my colleague Melanie Mason reported that Katie Porter is now signaling that she's probably going to stay in if Harris does in fact run. And so really the vibe seems to be shifting as frustration grows that Harris hasn't made up her mind yet.
And this comes as Governor Newsom is rounding out his final term. His interactions and his public rhetoric in response to President Trump, it's changed in the last 6 months. There's definitely been an evolution. He's become more combative with the president. How is that working for him? Is there any polling showing, you know, how, I guess, potential voters, Californians, maybe even Americans, given that he's also publicly expressed presidential ambitions, if that's working in his favor?
The recent polling, at least among California voters, show that his favorability has increased dramatically in a very noticeable way since the standoff with Trump has escalated in recent months. And in particular, the governor's numbers improved during the standoff in LA after Trump called in the National Guard and the military. And the governor really pushed back against that and said it was a violation of the separation of powers. That really benefited Newsom's numbers. And we've also seen on social media, the governor's really boosted his following and has grown his audience pretty dramatically in recent months. And this comes, as you said, he started the year with a much more measured tone, trying to build better relationship with Trump. But in recent months, that's completely reversed. And he's really going after the president over tariffs, over his ICE immigration sweeps, over his decision to send the military into LA. And as that tension has escalated, it's benefited Newsom's political numbers and his popularity.
Finally, he'll be traveling this week. What's he going to be doing in South Carolina?
So, this is only adding fuel to the speculation about him eyeing a run for president in 2028. He's making the rounds. The state party's hosting him. He's talking with voters, ostensibly about disaster preparedness and emergency preparedness. But really, it's kind of testing the tires, kicking the wheels of the governor, seeing how he would play with voters in the South. I mean, he's a Californian from a progressive part of the country, and I think this is a trial run to see if he has an inroad to connect with voters in a very crucial early primary state. I mean, remember that South Carolina has been what probably the most crucial state in the last several Democratic primaries. President Joe Biden, he came to dominate the Democratic field after the showing in South Carolina. So I think it's a crucial test to see whether Newsom could be viable in those early primary states.
Dustin, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Dustin Gardner is the co-author of Politico's California Playbook. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.